is Thursday, December 13th, 2018. This is the PW Torch livecast on a Thursday night. I am Mike McMahon, flying solo this week. Andrew Socek is on assignment. We're going to review this week's edition of Impact Wrestling, which just concluded over on Pop TV. We are also going to get to reader emails later on in the show. So if you have an email you'd like to send over tonight, you could do so by emailing impactlivecast@gmail.com. That address again is impactlivecast@gmail.com. Again, Andrew and I check that email every Thursday, but it's open all week long. You know, emails don't close. So if you have anything that comes across your mind, if there's any breaking Impact news that you want to react to or anything like that, you can shoot us an email at impactlivecast@gmail.com. We'll get to emails later in the show, but again, anything you want to react to on this show tonight, if you're listening to us live, impactlivecast@gmail.com. If you're listening to the show on download over the weekend and you want to shoot us an email with thoughts on this week's show that we can get to next week or whatever, again, that address is impactlivecast@gmail.com. One programming note before we get into reviewing this week's edition of Impact Wrestling. I don't know what our schedule is going to be the next 2 weeks. I believe, if I read things correctly, that Impact is going with best of episodes on the 20th and 27th, the last two episodes of the year. That's what they've done in years past as well, so it wouldn't surprise me if they went with best of episodes these last 2 weeks. I don't actually know for sure. I'm not sure that they've announced anything for sure. I know I was listening to Petey Williams' podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I think he mentioned it. That's where I remember hearing it from. So my understanding, my impression, is that they are running best of episodes the last 2 weeks of the year. If that's the case, I'm not sure that Andrew and I will do shows, at least live, because there's really not anything to review. actually, and I'm reading it right here. So this is from the Impact website. Best of 2018 Part 1 starts airing next week on Impact Wrestling. This is, again, straight from the Impact website. Next Thursday night, we will look at the Best of 2018 Part 1. The following Thursday night, we will complete the look back at the year that was with Part 2. Impact Wrestling had an amazing year, according to them. We traveled to New Orleans for WrestleCon. We went to Mexico City. We jumped across the pond and went to the United Kingdom. And then we also spent time in Windsor and Toronto and Canada, not to mention Bound for Glory in New York City. Part 1 of our look back 2018 happens next Thursday night. We can't wait to see highlights, to see what highlights are included in the two-hour episode next week. The following week, it is up to you, the great fans of Impact Wrestling, to determine the top five matches of the year. And you have been voting on social media. So it does look like they will do best ofs the next 2 weeks. A highlight show on the 20th, and then top five matches of the year as voted on by the fans on the 27th. So my guess, and Andrew and I have not discussed this yet, my guess is that we probably will not do a show the next 2 weeks because there really won't be much to talk about. But this does kind of leave Impact in a weird spot because they've got a pay-per-view coming up on January 6th. By doing best of episodes these next 2 weeks, it means that they're going to have one show now before the pay-per-view. This show tonight was the second show before the pay-per-view. It's the show right before the go-home show. So they're going to come back on January 3rd. We now know they're going to be on Pop TV, at least for the beginning of 2019, and they're going to have their go-home show for Homecoming, which is on January 6th. It's weird because Andrew and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but we were wondering, is that go-home show, when they come back on the 3rd, even going to air? Because we didn't know what was going on with their television. Now we know that they're going to be on Pop for the first half of 2019, so that show is going to air on Pop on January 3rd. And again, my guess from our live cast perspective, for our listeners, is that that's probably when we'll return to our show, just because there's going to be, what are we going to talk about the next 2 weeks? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. There's not going to be much to discuss unless there's breaking news. If there's big breaking news, that all can change. If there's, you know, some type of big breaking news story, if Impact signs a TV deal or what have you, then we'll probably do a show just to cover that news. But if it's just the reviewing the show like we usually do here, it's really going to be nothing to review. It's all stuff we've already seen. So I don't know that we'll have a show. Okay, I apologize. You're going to hear me break here multiple times tonight. I am battling a cold, so I'm going to have to sip some water every once in a while. In fact, everybody in my house is sick right now. I'm sick. My wife is sick. Both of my kids are sick. Both of my dogs are sick. In fact, you'll probably hear one of them snoring in the background because he's got a cold and he's a pug. So they snore as it is. They snore even louder when they have a cold. So let's review this week's edition of Impact Wrestling. Then we're going to get to emails. Then we're going to get to a game that I played on Twitter earlier today. I asked people to send me two scenarios. This is inspired by a podcast, an NBA podcast that I listen to. But the game went like this. The host wanted people on social media to give them two scenarios, and then the host had to sit there and decide which one was more likely. So we have a fun game to play towards the end of the show. You guys, through social media on Twitter, sent me some different scenarios throughout the day today, and we'll go through and try to pick out which ones are more than likely to happen for Impact Wrestling in 2019. And again, we'll get to emails later as well. But first, let's run down this week's edition of Impact Wrestling. They started the show with Rich Swann beating Dave Crist in an Ultimate X qualifier. There was a big schmoz after the match where OVE jumped in and attacked Rich Swann. Then Willie Mack entered the fray. He made the save, but Rich Swann pulled Willie Mack away. Then after a break, they went backstage, and Willie Mack was upset, asking Rich Swann why he pulled him off of Sami Callihan. Swann said he was not trying to pull Mack into his mess with OVE and tells Mack to back it up. So they're already teasing some dissension or some issues with Rich Swann and Willie Mack, which is weird because they were just put together as a team at Bound for Glory 2 months ago. Andrew and I have lamented the fact that they've wasted Willie Mack since he's come into the company. They haven't really done anything with him, whether it's as a singles guy or as a tag team with Schwann. They've really done nothing with this guy. And it's unfortunate because they're in need of a spark and at least some type of new talent. And Andrew and I both thought that Willie Mack was that guy. You know, I actually thought that given where they are, probably makes sense to keep Rich Swann and Willie Mack as a tag team, because they don't have any tag teams in the company. I mean, you look at the roster, there's nobody. You know, the Rascals will become one, I think, in 2019. But really, for a long time, they've had OVE and they've had LAX. And that's been it. They're putting Pentagon and Phoenix together because they don't have any other choice at Homecoming. They really don't have any other guys ready to challenge for the tag team championship. So could you have kept Rich Swann and Willie Mack together and built them into a tag team, a fun tag team that might be able to challenge for the tag team championship, you know, around this time or into the new year? I think you could have done that. That's not the role that they went with. I mean, because instead, what are your other choices? I mean, do you feel like the Desi Hit Squad or KM and Fall Aba is a serious enough tag team to challenge for the world tag team titles? I mean, they're a fun act. People are into Fall Aba. But do you really think that they're an act that is ready to challenge for the world tag team titles? I don't think so. And I don't think a lot of people do either. They're a fun act, but where they're positioned on the card just doesn't make any sense that they're going to be challenging for championships. So it would have made, I think, more sense to keep Swann and Willie Mack together as a tag team. Now that's another, I mean, granted, they're a babyface tag team, and you're LAX babyface champions right now, but it would have given you something to go to, even if you won with a babyface feud for a little bit over the tag team championship, whatever. I mean, that's what they're doing now with Pentagon and Phoenix. But yeah, I feel like they're wasting both of these guys right now. All right, then they went to an in-ring segment where Tessa Blanchard and Taya Valkyrie had a face-off, a face-to-face promo. Josh Matthews was the moderator. Thought this was pretty good. You know, we've talked in the past about how they need to inject more reality into the show. And I thought that this was a good step in that direction. They weren't pulling the curtain back. They weren't breaking the fourth wall, but they were playing up storyline-based reality, which sounds like a funny term, I know. But they were playing up storyline-based reality in the sense that Tessa Blanchard was giving Taya Valkyrie a hard time about her husband, Johnny Impact, who's the world champion. And Tessa said that he wasn't a very good world champion. The only thing I didn't like about this is they still had to refer to themselves as Knockouts, which I just think in today's day and age sounds silly and dumb, especially with what we've seen WWE do as far as women's wrestling and just taking it a lot more seriously and taking that diva moniker away from what they're calling their women wrestlers. I think it would have been, it will be nice and should be nice for Impact to get rid of that knockout name. Just look, they may love it, but it has a negative connotation, I think, with it at this point. So the fact that they had to refer to the Knockouts title, and I think it was Taya Valkyrie at one point who was talking about how she represented herself in a way that the Knockouts should represent themselves. Just having to force that word Knockout in just sounds, I don't know. It I don't like it. It sounds forced, and it just sounds silly in this day and age. When why can't they just call themselves wrestlers? I mean, that's what they are, right? They got to call themselves Knockouts. It just, I don't know. It sounds silly. But their women's division is in good shape as we head into 2019. That's going to be, I think, the fun division to watch this upcoming year, because you've got Tessa Blanchard, Taya Valkyrie, Jordynne Grace. I mean, there's an influx of talent in that division right now. You've got Rosemary, who should be coming back from injury, I think, relatively soon. I'm not totally high on Allie right now. Allie, who lost her soul. The Sue Young stuff, I mean, Sue Young's fine. The character Sue Young, the story, I'm just not into it. I'm not into that supernatural stuff. I don't think that's not the way that I like to see my wrestling presented. So I'm not into everything they're doing with the Knockouts, but I think you've got a pretty good base right now with Tessa, Taya, and Jordynne Grace. And I hope, and we'll get to Jordynne Grace in a little bit when we get to her match on the show here, I hope that they are going to treat her or protect her better than they protected Brian Cage, because Brian Cage went from feeling like a big deal and a machine and a monster to, at this point, I mean, now he's going into his big world title match, and he kind of just feels like another wrestler. Part of that is they've beaten him. They've beaten him via pinfall. They beat him via countout back in the summer to end the theoretical streak, which I thought was silly and dumb at the time. So, I mean, Brian Cage hasn't lost a lot of matches. It's not like they've jobbed him out, but it feels like he should feel like a bigger deal right now going into that world title match. They got a chance to redeem themselves here, because Jordynne Grace is kind of the female Brian Cage. Don Callis was making those comparisons on the show tonight. So I hope that they've learned some lessons with Brian Cage and they protect Jordynne Grace better than they protected Cage, because they did try to protect Cage. I mean, there's no question they tried to protect Cage. I don't think they did a very good job of it. Having him lose, what was it, DQ or countout, whatever it was, over the summer, I didn't like it then. I really don't like it now, because you took that undefeated moniker off of him. Even if he wasn't pinned, technically he was no longer undefeated. Why? It didn't accomplish anything. They didn't give that, you know, nobody got a rub from a countout win over Brian Cage. It didn't make any sense. And even if you go back to Bound for Glory when he got pinned, I don't know, like, why wouldn't you just keep him undefeated going into the world title match? I mean, wouldn't that feel like a bigger deal? I mean, it felt like to me like they pinned Brian Cage at Bound for Glory just to pin him, just to do it, just to have a moment on the show, when instead you could have had a big selling point to your main event of your next pay-per-view had to be going in undefeated. So that's where I feel like they dropped the ball.
Hey, if you're a fan of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, which you obviously are if you're listening to this right now, check out Solomonster Sounds Off. It's a weekly show covering all the latest news in the world of wrestling, from WWE to Lucha Underground, New Japan, and everything in between, plus listener Q&A, rankings, and more. Check it out in iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or download directly from thesolomonster.com.
Also, I feel like they dropped the ball a little bit tonight just with the build. I mean, we said it at the top of the show. This is essentially their second-to-last show before Homecoming. It's their second-to-last original show before Homecoming. All you saw from Brian Cage and Johnny Impact tonight was Brian Cage had a good match, but the focus of the match was Brian Cage. Yeah, he got a win over Moose, and then Eddie Edwards attacked after the match. The focus was all on Eddie Edwards and Moose after the main event. You were left. The lasting impression of the show was not Cage getting the win. It was Eddie Edwards and Moose. The only other reference to that world title match that didn't come from the announced team was from Johnny Impact during his promo. And again, it wasn't really focused on the match as much as it was focused on Johnny Impact and Killer Cross and why was Killer Cross trying to help Johnny Impact last week. There really wasn't any focus on just Johnny Impact versus Brian Cage. And maybe that's because they're afraid of the fact that they have a babyface match here, and they don't know how to promote it. But it seems like both guys were either focused on something else in Johnny Impact's standpoint, or they were overshadowed come the end of the show from Brian Cage's perspective. So it was weird in the way that they tried to build that match. It just didn't. I don't know what they're going for right now, because now they've got one show to sell their main event, and I don't know. I just don't understand what the mindset was there. Let's get back to the show, though. They picked up next after that promo with Tessa Blanchard and Taya Valkyrie. They went to another Ultimate X qualifying match where Trey Miguel beat Trevor Lee. That's right. Trey Miguel beat Trevor Lee. My understanding is this is Trevor Lee's last appearance on Impact Wrestling on the show. He'll be a part of the card tomorrow night on Twitch. People that I've spoken to, and I believe PW Insider also had this report, that tomorrow night is Trevor Lee's last date with Impact Wrestling. I've been told the same thing. He, at one point, had denied it on Twitter. It said something to the effect of, I think when PW Insider first reported that he was finishing up with Impact, he had tweeted that he was still with Impact Wrestling or something like that. But, he didn't deny that he was leaving at the end of the year, but he said, you know, technically he's still with Impact. Whatever the case was. My understanding is that he technically finished up Impact television tapings with the last set of tapings in Las Vegas. He has that Twitch show tomorrow night, and that's his last date for Impact. We'll see if that changes going into the new year, but that's my understanding from people I spoke to this week, is that Trevor Lee's last date with the company is tomorrow. And again, I think PW Insider had the same thing. So PW Insider, with the same report this week, that his last date, Trevor Lee's last date with Impact Wrestling, is tomorrow night in Ohio. But I mean, it clearly felt like one of his last nights when you're losing to Trey Miguel, in an Ultimate X qualifying match. No offense to Trey Miguel, but, when has he been on the show? You know, he just debuted. I mean, the Rascals just debuted a couple of weeks ago. And you're beating a guy like Trevor Lee, who's been on the show for, what, 4 years, 5 years, whatever it's been? 4 or 5 years of just them not knowing what the hell to do with Trevor Lee, which is absolutely stunning. I mean, we're talking about how many different bookers, how many different owners at this point have dropped the ball on Trevor Lee. Like, it's friggin' amazing that he wasted away the way that he did on this show, which is just begging for stars. I mean, Impact is absolutely begging for star power. They had a good one in Trevor Lee, and they're letting him go, which just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It makes sense for Trevor Lee. I mean, the way he's been treated, yeah, I'd get the hell out of there too. But I just don't know why they didn't use him better. I really don't. It's going to be one of the biggest head scratchers for me for a long, long time, is why they didn't use Trevor Lee better, especially when, I mean, if they're keeping an eye on their talent, they should know what he's doing in the indie scene. They should know who he is, and they just never went there with him, which was sad and frustrating from a viewer standpoint. Next, Ali and Soo Young cut a backstage video. Again, I'm just not into this stuff. You know, Ali lost her soul. Great. Let's see. After that, Konnan. Oh, this is a big segment. Konnan then tells LAX backstage that he was not happy with them for getting into a heat with Pentagon and Phoenix last week, and Konnan told them that they are on their own tonight when Santana takes on Phoenix. He also made it sound like that they were on their own at the pay-per-view when Phoenix and Pentagon challenge LAX for the World Tag Team titles. I was a little unclear on that, but that's what it sounded like. So then they went to a singles match. Phoenix beat Santana in a pretty long match and a pretty great match. I know Josh Matthews kind of joked and said that, you know, the fans were voting for match of the year, and now they'd have to slip this one in there, maybe with a write-in vote, because it was so good. It really was. I mean, I thought this was one of the better matches, probably the best match that I've seen from the Vegas taping so far. Just a really, really good match, as you'd expect. I mean, Santana's unbelievable. Phoenix is obviously one of the best in the world when it comes to that style of wrestling, and they really, really delivered. It was a really good singles match, especially for a guy like Santana, who typically isn't a tag team. He had I was really impressed with his showing against Phoenix, who isn't a tag team right now, but isn't necessarily always in a tag team. You know, he's obviously a singles wrestler. Santana mostly has been a tag team wrestler. He looked really good, really, really good against Phoenix. And again, this was a longer match too, so really impressed with this one. Then backstage, Killer Cross was being interviewed by Mackenzie Mitchell. Johnny Impact interrupted, and Impact and Cross had some back and forth about why Cross tried to help Johnny Impact last week, and Impact told Cross to leave him and his wife alone. Again, they're not focusing on the match. They're focusing on a bunch of other crap going on around the match, but they're not really focusing on the match itself. After that, Eli Drake went to the mental institution, Shady Acres. I can't believe I'm saying this. Eli Drake went to the mental institution to tell Raven that he's going to destroy Raven's legacy and yada, yada, yada. So yeah, Eli Drake was at a mental institution challenging Raven, who was obviously a patient at the mental institution. Eli Drake was not a patient at the mental institution. He just showed up to cut a promo on Raven because, I mean, why wouldn't you? Raven, who has had no interaction with Eli Drake whatsoever, gets a promo cut onto him by Eli Drake, who just showed up out of nowhere to cut a promo on him at a mental hospital. Makes total sense. Then Jordynne Grace came to the ring. She beat Ruby Reyes, who was brought in by Katarina a couple of weeks ago, or I think was it last week or 2 weeks ago, where she kind of brought her in. But Jordynne Grace gets the win here. Good showing. They seem to know what they're doing. I thought this was good. They didn't do too much. Jordynne Grace didn't have to do too much selling, even though Ruby Reyes looks like a monster and had Katarina in her corner. This was just Jordynne Grace kicking ass, getting a win over a sizable opponent, a pretty big opponent, a monster-like opponent, with some interference at ringside from Katarina. It was good. She hit the Vader bomb for the win. Jordynne Grace looked like a monster, but she looked like a baby face monster. She just looked like a, lack of better language, an ass kicker. I mean, that's what she looked like, and that's what you're trying to build her as. It was good. They didn't ever sell. I mean, she sold more in the matches against Katarina than she sold in this match against Ruby Reyes tonight, which is a good thing, because she sold way too much against Katarina. I mean, think about it. Katarina was essentially a manager. She was barely a wrestler on the show, and Jordynne Grace in her first couple of matches was selling a lot for Katarina, which is half her size, and was barely a wrestler on the show. I thought that was poor decision making. But this tonight was good. Jordynne Grace looked good against a stronger opponent. There were some spots in here where she was really able to show off her strength and how strong she is. And Katarina tried to get involved, and it didn't matter, and she still got the win. So it was good. It was good all around. After that match, the Desi Hit Squad was looking for Scarlett Bordeaux. Then what happened? Oh, yeah. Scarlett recommended that they face Falabar and KM in a tag team match. That's pretty much all that happened there. I don't know what the payoff to this Scarlett Bordeaux thing is going to be. I really don't, but yeah. Then in the main event, it was Brian Cage against Moose. And you know what? This is right. I think I said earlier on the show that Moose got a win over, excuse me, that Eddie Edwards got a win. Let me try that again. It's late, folks. That Brian Cage going to win over Moose. That didn't actually happen. That's wrong. Because as I look back through my notes here, they never had a finish. Eddie Edwards just hit the ring and attacked Moose, and it looked like it was a no contest. So, what are they doing? What are they doing? Not only does Brian Cage have to not be undefeated going into his world title match, not only do they take that away from him, they strip that away from him over the summer. Now it's like Brian Cage can't beat Moose on TV. It needs to be a no contest. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, that's what happened here. Brian Cage looked good. I mean, Cage had decent control of the match for the most part. He hit some big moves, but No finish. He doesn't get a win because Eddie Edwards escaped from the mental hospital. Ran out, by the way, in bare feet in a hospital gown. That's what he was wearing when he attacked Moose. And they actually announced, so Impact announced on Twitter right after the show that at Homecoming, it'll be Moose versus Eddie Edwards in a Falls Count Anywhere match. So that's going to happen. We pretty much knew that they were going to be wrestling on the show, but now we know it will be a Falls Count Anywhere match. I'm trying to find, before we go into emails, I'm trying to find the card for Homecoming so far. Okay, so the card for Homecoming is, we know now that it's Moose versus Eddie Edwards in a Falls Count Anywhere match. We know that it's Eli Drake versus Abyss in a Monsters Ball match. We know that we'll have LAX versus the Lucha Brothers for the World Tag Team Championships. The Ultimate X match returns. Who's going to be the X Division champion? Tessa Blanchard defends the Knockouts title against Taya Valkyrie. And Johnny Impact defends the World Heavyweight Championship against Brian Cage. But a lot of gimmick-type matches on this show. You got a Monsters Ball match. You got a Falls Count Anywhere match. You got an Ultimate X match. I mean, hey, it's pay-per-view. They could get away with some stuff on pay-per-view that they can't get away with on TV. Their pay-per-views have been pretty good, too. I thought Bound for Glory was a pretty good show. Slammiversary was a really good show, obviously, going back to June. So I'm holding out hope that Homecoming will be a good show. It's going to be a weird build, I think, with this two-week gap now between original shows, original programming, which, you know, I understand why they're doing it. I think they tape two episodes a night during the television tapings. So it saves them a day, you know, not having to do the show on the 20th and 27th saves them a day of television tapings. I don't know monetarily what that saves them, but I would imagine it saves them some money, which is probably why they're doing it. You know, it cuts a day out of those tapings. So I mean, if it didn't save them money, why would they do it? Because their viewership is going to crash. Traditionally, that's what happens. Viewership goes just down the drain these last 2 weeks because it's all stuff that people have seen before. There's no reason to see it again. So if it's not saving them any money, it doesn't make any sense. So I don't know, again, how much it saves them, but I would imagine it saves them some money. But it interrupts the flow of the show. And that's what I think is going to be an interesting balancing act when they come back on the 3rd and what that's going to look like. Because there's going to be a two-week gap here where nothing happens. And then they're just going to plug in a quick go-home show before the pay-per-view on January 6th. You know, I wonder what the momentum, what the flow of the company is going to feel like when Andrew and I are back here on the 3rd of January talking about that January 3rd show. Because, you know, it's taken a two-week gap. It's weird.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In years past, you know, they haven't had a pay-per-view right after the 1st of January. So in years past, that first January show after a two-week break has kind of felt like a little bit of a new beginning, a little bit of a breath of fresh air, a new start. You know, the last couple of years they haven't done this, but I think a few years ago, going back to, I think, 2016, you know, they came back and they were live. So they had a two-week break, and then they came back. First episode of 2016 was live. I think it was from a casino in Pennsylvania or something like that, if I remember the taping correctly. But they've done stuff like that, and it's always kind of felt like, all right, new year, new beginning. Well, not really with this. I mean, they're going to be going right into a pay-per-view with a show that was taped back in November. So it's just going to be interesting to feel what the momentum, what the flow of the show feels like when they get back, considering they're going to be trying to sell a pay-per-view right from day one, right from the get-go on that last show. It also tells me, too, and I might be reading too much into this, but the fact that they're willing to sacrifice 2 weeks of pay-per-view build for best of episodes just to save a little money tells me that they don't sell a lot of pay-per-views. I mean, we always kind of felt that that was the case. We had always kind of heard that that was the case. I think I remember saying on the show here, I think if they generated 10,000 buys, it's a pretty damn good number based upon what I've heard. So it, the fact that they're not all that concerned with, you know, selling their pay-per-view tells me that they don't sell a lot anyway. And they probably figure that, hey, anyone that's going to watch this show, anyone that's going to buy it is already going to buy it, whether or not we cut out 2 weeks of our build up to the pay-per-view. They're our hardcore fan base. They're buying it no matter what. My guess is that Impact management feels that that's where they are with pay-per-view. The only people buying it are the diehards, and they don't need to sell it to anybody on the periphery because it doesn't matter, because not a lot of those people buy the show anyway. So it was more cost-effective for them to throw away 2 weeks of build and save the money on the production cost by cutting a television taping one day short. That saved them more money than they felt would be generated by hyping the pay-per-view over those 2 weeks. So that, again, speculation on my part, but I think it gives us a little bit of insight into what their mindset is. If they thought that they could sell more pay-per-views in those 2 weeks on the 20th and 27th, if they thought they would sell more pay-per-views that it would offset the production cost of those two shows, we'd be having original programming these last 2 weeks. This, the fact that they're not doing that says to me that, okay, they're saving X amount of dollars by not producing original programming on the 20th and 27th. They don't feel that they would have generated enough additional pay-per-view income from hype on those two shows to make running them worthwhile. But again, we've always heard that their pay-per-view numbers, for the most part, have been pretty low. It's not really a significant part of their business anymore, I don't think, either. So that shouldn't be any surprise. Okay, let's go to emails. ImpactLivecast@gmail.com. And then we'll get into our scenario game to wrap up the show. Our email, first email this week, it's actually our only email in the email box, in the inbox right now, comes from Evan. Evan says, Mike and Andrew, what's up, guys? I listen to your show every week and decided to send you an email for the first time since I never had time to call in before. After listening the past couple of weeks, I know that you are not very high on Impact as a product right now. If you were given that opportunity, or given the opportunity to change Impact and rebook the shows, who would be your champions going forward? Would you leave the titles on who they are currently, or would you have, or would you want them to change? Okay, there's a second part of the question, but I'll answer this one first. I would, you know, I think right now, I don't think Johnny Impact is a good champion as a babyface. So if I were booking the show, Johnny Impact's either my top top heel in a world champion, or my babyface champion's probably Brian Cage. I think you can get away with Eli Drake, but I think for the type of audience Impact is trying to attract, they need people to go out and just have knockdown, drag out, awesome, great matches. I'm not sure that Drake is that guy. Eli Drake's a hell of an entertaining guy. He's the best promo in the company, but I'm not sure he's the five-star match guy. And that's what I think Impact is trying to cater to. So from that perspective, I think you probably put the world title on Phoenix or Pentagon, if it were me, or Brian Cage, you know, somebody like that, one of those three. If I were going to go with a heel, I'd go Johnny Impact as a heel, I'd be fine with. Or how about this for a dark horse? I put it on Sami Callihan. Sami Callihan's been the hottest guy in the company all year, so I don't think it would be a stretch to put that title on him right now as a heel either. All right. The second part of Evan's email. Also, who would you try and build the company around going forward in 2019? In my opinion, I really like what they're doing with Tessa and Taya, and would like to continue to see them work together going forward, along with Jordynne Grace. Hey, we were just talking about that earlier. Great minds think alike, Evan. On the men's side, I'm a huge fan of Eli Drake, but I wish he was in the main event scene right now. I think a babyface Brian Cage and a heel Drake would be cool to see sometime in 2019. Thank you guys for watching Impact every week, even though they moved to a later time slot. Yeah, it's been hard some weeks, Evan. I really enjoy listening to what you guys have to say every week about the show, even though Impact does not always deliver a great show. That is from Evan. Well, Evan, thanks for the kind words. We appreciate it. I can speak for Andrew this week as well, saying we appreciate it. I'm in total agreement with you on Tessa and Taya. I think that they were great together, and Jordynne Grace is going to get involved with whoever is the winner of that feud. Whoever's the champion coming out of that feud is going to have Jordynne Grace waiting in the wings, and it's going to be great no matter who it is. And then Jordynne Grace should go over, and she could then feud with whoever the loser of this feud is. So you can get a long time out of this. Let's say Tessa goes over Taya in this feud and retains the championship. Well, then you can go with Tessa and Jordynne Grace for the next pay-per-view, for Slammiversary. And then after that, Jordynne Grace should win the title, and Jordynne Grace can go up against Taya for the next pay-per-view of Bound for Glory. So really, I mean, between those three, you should be able to get almost a year's worth of top women's storylines just between those three. That's my hope anyway. And then you can work in Rosemary and other people as they come back. But that's what I hope they do. On the men's side, I agree with you with Eli Drake. I think he's a really good promo. I just said I don't know if he's a top guy material from a match standpoint. But you know what? You can get by. Like, if he were in there feuding against someone like a Pentagon or even a especially a Pentagon or a Phoenix, but even a Callahan, if you were to turn Eli Drake babyface, I mean, there's things you could do to make it to get them by. I just don't know that he's got the work rate that Impact is looking for, at least who they're trying to cater to. They seem to be really trying to cater towards the, for lack of a better term, indie fan base. And I don't know that Eli Drake is the guy to centerpiece if that's who you're trying to appeal to, but I agree with you. I think he's great. Okay. I got five scenarios that I picked out from people that sent them to me on Twitter. And these aren't crazy ones either. I asked people to send me two realistic scenarios, and I would have to – the game here is you send two scenarios for what is more likely to happen in 2019, and I got to guess which is more likely to happen coming up for Impact Wrestling in 2019. So let's start with the first one, and the first one's kind of a silly one. The first two scenarios are – one, Allie finds her soul. Or two, Impact kills a character like Lucha Underground. The problem with this is I think they're both likely. I can see them turning Allie back babyface in a heartbeat because they don't seem to know what they're doing half the time. And I could also see they seem to be so crazy with these overproduced backstage vignettes that I do think they'll kill somebody off at some point. So, honestly, it would not surprise me to see both of these things come true in 2019. If I had to pick one, I'm going to say that Allie finds her soul. Because I think when Rosemary comes back, Allie probably feuds with Rosemary. But that feud ends with Rosemary, you know, I don't know, blowing Allie's soul back into her body or something like that. I mean, just something stupid where they can heavily produce it backstage and it'll look silly and it'll be dumb. And Andrew and I will make fun of it on this show and all that stuff. I mean, I could 100% see them doing that. I'm probably like 100% Allie turns babyface and gets her soul back. And I'm like 80% they kill somebody. So I'm going to go with Allie here. But Andrew has brought this up multiple times in the show, and I will give him credit for it, and I'm in agreement with him. They're so in love with the Lucha Underground style of storytelling, it seems. They're definitely killing somebody at some point. I don't know who. It could be Sue Young. I mean, Allie almost killed Sue Young back at, I think it was at Bound for Glory, right? She stabbed her and did whatever else, and she almost died. So they're killing somebody at some point. It's just a matter of time.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, We get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Okay. Next up. Brian Cage wins the world title, or Sami Callihan wins the world title. This is an easy one for me. I think it's Brian Cage wins the world title, and I think Cage is going to win the world title on January 6th at Homecoming. So this is a real easy one for me. I do think it's interesting, though, Sami Callihan is world champion. I brought it up earlier. I'd give him a shot as a world champion. I think he's pretty damn good. I think he's had the best year of anybody in the company. So I certainly would like to see Sami Callihan as world champion. But what's more likely? It's Brian Cage, because Brian Cage is going to win the title at Homecoming. That's my official pick. That Cage will defeat Johnny Impact. All right, three more, and then we're going to wrap up the show. So three more. This is a fun one. All Elite Wrestling has a better TV deal than Impact Wrestling. Or Impact Wrestling has a better TV deal than All Elite Wrestling. This is an interesting one. Because there's a couple of things here. A, you have to assume that AEW is going to get on TV. Right now, I mean, if you were to base it just on right now, Impact's is better. Because Impact's on television. AEW isn't even a company yet. They're not on TV. But here's the thing. I think if AEW gets on TV, they're going to have a better deal than Impact. And I don't know what exactly you mean by better deal. If it's strictly monetarily based, who's making more money from their TV deal? That could be anybody, and we won't know the answer to that. But I think AEW will be on a better night. I think AEW will be on a better network, most likely. And assuming that Pop keeps Impact on a 10 p.m., I think AEW will be in a better time slot. So if AEW gets TV, I think their deal will theoretically be better than Impact's deal, whether that's with whether that's with Pop or somebody else. So I guess the question then becomes, do I think AEW has a television deal before the end of 2019? That's a tough question to answer. Because I don't know what they're looking to do. Are they looking for TV? Or are they looking for a streaming service? I mean, what are they looking for? We don't know. There's so many unknowns, it's hard to say. So because of if we're keeping score at home, we're going to look back at this later in the year, then I want to make sure I get as many right as possible. Because there's so many unknowns with AEW, I feel like it's a really risky pick to pick them, even though I could easily see a scenario where they end up with a better TV deal than Impact Wrestling. I could easily see. I'm going to stick with Impact for now, just because it's a safer pick. There's a better chance right now that they're on TV in 2019 than AEW is. We know that Impact's going to be on TV in 2019. We don't know where. We know they're going to start the first half of the year anyway. They're going to start on Pop. We don't know where they're going to end up. But we know they're going to start on Pop. But we know they're going to be on TV. We don't know that AEW is even going to be on TV. So you stick with the safe pick, I think, and say AEW. Okay. Two more here. Two more, and then we'll wrap up. Okay, next scenario. Impact Wrestling gets renewed on a new television station, or Impact Wrestling goes to a streaming service like Hulu or Netflix or WWE Network, which they didn't put in there, but I'm adding. I think that's an unlikely scenario, WWE Network necessarily, but I think it's still possible. I think they'll renew on TV somewhere, whether it's with Pop or somebody else. I don't think that they're going to be the first company that jumps into solely distributing their show through a streaming service or network or channel. I don't think that Impact's going to be the first one to do that. So I think they'll renew on television with someone. Honestly, like right now, it looks like it's probably going to be Pop, which I'm not very excited about, but I just don't know who else is going to take them or who else would even want them. You know, 100,000 viewers are not exactly drawing. They're not even drawing 400,000, 300,000. They're drawing, you know, essentially what the Swole Bros or whatever they were probably drew when they were on Pop a couple of years ago and were forced into the show. So I don't know where they're going to go, but I do think they're going to remain on television. And if they do, I think it will remain on an actual television platform and not a streaming service. Not yet. You know, 2 years from now, my answer might be very, very different. But I just don't see Impact being the first company that gets that type of streaming deal. All right, and the last one, and this is my favorite because we've been talking about this guy since probably June. Chris Jericho shows up in Impact Wrestling, or Chris Jericho shows up in All Elite Wrestling. What's more likely for 2019? This is an easy one for me. I think it's Jericho shows up in All Elite Wrestling. Chris Jericho had an opportunity to show up at Impact. It seemed like the stage was set all year. It seemed like there was a perfect opportunity with him and Sami Callihan. It seemed like there was perfect timing with Jericho for Bound for Glory. It seemed like the stage was set in a perfect way for Jericho to at least make an appearance for Impact in 2018, and it never happened. So now going into 2019, Jericho's not stupid. I mean, Jericho made an appearance at All In. Why? Because he knows it's big. He knows it's huge. He picks his spots, and he does it very, very well. So I see Chris Jericho more than likely, if he's going to wrestle again, it's going to be with All Elite Wrestling. Or if given the option, Impact or AEW, it'll be AEW. He knows it's going to be a bigger deal. Again, this is assuming that AEW is an actual thing and it ends up on some type of actual streaming service or network or whatever. Assuming all that happens, I think he'll appear for AEW. I just think that it makes too much sense if given the choice, if AEW becomes an actual company. Right now it's all theoretical. It's a thing that may or may not happen. But I don't know. I'm off the Jericho will be appearing for Impact bandwagon. I was on it and on it hard in over the summer, but I think the chance was there and now I think it's gone. You know, maybe that's the idea. You know, Jericho doesn't like anything to be telegraphed, so maybe that's the idea. Let it die down and he'll make a surprise appearance sometime in the middle of the year. But it feels like there was a perfect opportunity there for it. And they never did anything with it. Or maybe he didn't want to do anything with it. So it never happened back over the summer. Okay. That's all I got for scenarios. That's all we've got for emails. And that's all I got for this show. So we ran down Impact. Again, I don't know what's going to happen next week or the week after. My guess, though, is that Andrew and I will not be on the air because of the fact that they're doing best of episodes. So that's my guess. If there is some type of breaking news, though, if there is something to talk about, whether it's a TV deal or whatever, we'll probably sneak a show in, maybe just for VIP members. I don't know. Or maybe we'll put it on the live cast feed. We'll figure that out. But plan on Andrew and I not being here on the 20th, not being here on the 27th, because there's not going to be an Impact show to discuss. That means we'll be back on January 3rd when Impact returns with original programming, and we will run down the go-home show to Homecoming. That's going to be a big night here in the live cast because it's the final show before Homecoming. So expect Andrew and I to be back on the 3rd, if not sooner. You might see us pop in with a surprise over the next couple of weeks, but I'm not going to promise anything. But that's when you'll definitely hear us again is January 3rd, and we'll be running down the Go Home show in previewing Homecoming, which is going to be coming up that Sunday on January 6th. So that will do it for tonight's edition of the Thursday Livecast. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Torch McMahon. You can follow Andrew Socek on Twitter, even though he's not here, at Andrew Socek, S-O-U-C-E-K. I'll plug PW Podcast for Andrew because I know they do a lot of great work over there. You can check up on all your wrestling podcasts. If you can't listen to them, you can get full recaps over at pwpodcast.com, so make sure you check that out. Also, go VIP. I say that every single week, but if you're not, I don't know what you're waiting for. Come on! We've been saying it week in and week out. Go VIP. It'll be the best money you spend. You will not regret it. Trust me. If you're a wrestling fan, you will not regret going VIP here at The Torch. So that will do it for this week. Happy holidays, everybody. If we don't talk to you before the end of the year, Happy New Year. Andrew and I will be back on January 3rd. We might drop in with a bonus show. We'll see. But if you don't hear from us until January 3rd, don't be too surprised on that either. We will definitely be back then, though. We'll be entering our third year of the Livecast, which is amazing. We'll be hitting our second year anniversary coming up real soon, and then we'll be in the midst, in progress, of our third year doing the show, which is crazy. It feels like we just started, but it's gonna be, we'll be hitting the 2 year mark very, very soon, Andrew and I, on doing this Livecast each and every Thursday night. So thanks again for listening. Thanks for downloading the show. Thanks for subscribing to the Livecast feed, and we will talk to you in 2019 here on the Thursday Livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free addition to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post-shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership, and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Progress Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.